We're back with a bonus.
We're back with a bitchin' bonus. Are we still calling them bitchin' bonuses?
Sure. Yeah. Bitchin' bonuses. I forgot that we had named them. Yeah, guys. This is our very first bonus Patreon exclusive. Look at us.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot. Yes, that is true. So it's a Patreon bitchin' bonus.
Yeah. Patreon bitchin' bonus.
But yeah, we are starting out our bonus extravaganza with Degrassi Talks, which I'm really excited about. If you guys have it, talk about because what this was in the early 90s,
this came out in 92. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. So it's a couple years out of what we're currently in with Degrassi High. Mm-hmm. But it's still, I think, as far as I'm concerned, part of the Degrassi High extended universe.
Yes. So for anyone that let's just give a brief introduction. So, for anyone that doesn't mm-hmm. know what the heck, what the hell is Degrassi Talks, we are not creating Degrassi Talks. We are recapping and discussing Degrassi Talks. So, it was in the timeline of Degrassi. So, we have, kids at Degrassi Street, Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, which we are currently, discussing on our main podcast feed. And then there is the made-for-TV school. Out and then after that in 92 they did this 6-part documentary series where each week they discuss a hot topic with and one of the main characters of Degrassi this week is Spike. Mm-hmm. Is kind of hosting it's a documentary style kind of made for TV expose. Is that too strong of a word?
I think it's part documentary, part expose, part after school special. They're mm-hmm. definitely leaning into the roots of Degrassi, but from a less narrative, this is a script about a character. It's them mm-hmm. interviewing real teens and young people about these different topics. Yeah.
It's meant to be shown in health classes instead of your awkward PE teacher telling you this. It's Degrassi and it's more comfortable.
Yes. The first one we're covering is the sex episode hosted by Amanda Steptoe, who played Spike. But we see I've never seen these before. I was under the impression that it was just going to be talking to people. I did not realize the whole cast is involved in this, or most of them are involved in some way. They're it's so funny because it's so fake. The interviews are real, but then you'll have Yik holding the camera. I'm like, yeah, Yik, yeah, sure. He's definitely filming that. He's not but it's very
But we're part cool of me is also
teens.
Part of me is Degrassi would be listen, we got budget cuts. We're trying to make this the cheapest possible way. So you guys mm-hmm. are the crew. Get the boom mic ready. You're hired.
That's true. They might actually you guys are hired, producer. Mm-hmm. But it's I think it's so interesting. And I'm wondering about, but I guess they were. I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself, trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. But I'm watching this and I'm so were the actors on Degrassi High considered really, really cool in their age, day and age? Were they on par with the cast of Beverly Hills 90210 for Americans? Because I'm trying to understand, because the part of this is very cheesy, but I could also see that if the teens who this is aimed towards genuinely think these kids are the coolest, then I can also see this is actually really great content, or it's really corny.
I think,
I
think for the time, it, looking back on it, it seems very corny, but I think for that time, these were the kind of because we think about celebrity, there's like, you know, there's like the mega celebrity that's like completely untouchable. But I think to some extent, like everyone knows, like, you know, it comes like for us, maybe it was like Disney stars or Nickelodeon stars that like were famous, but like I remember like growing up watching Nickelodeon and it was like game shows that if you went to Universal Studios, you can like go be an audience member, like or like participate or get or be able to slime one of your celebrities. So there's this level of like approachability with this kind of like made for teen shows, especially of that time, like 80s and 90s, like these people, these kids were very like approachable and attainable, so but at the same time, like they are on TV, so like that kind of star factor is still there.
But yeah, I guess I can see that. I think especially since this is like the Degrassi High School's Out era where the show got less after school specially and got more like just a teen drama. Like it became just...
They fucking...
It's just a teen... Yeah, it's just like a straight... Yeah. Degrassi High. They fucking... Like that's... But no, yeah, it becomes like a straight like teen drama. So yeah. But this episode is the sex episode, as I said. It originally aired in February 1992, and I gotta say, this show, this was actually so progressive. Like, aside from like the fucking dumb teenagers they talked to who were stupid as fuck, it was like we opened up with like this man doing a condom demonstration on a big old black dildo. Like, it was a big one. I was like, whoa. Full on dildo.
Okay, also, for anyone that's curious, if you are wanting to watch these Degrassi Talks, they're all for free on YouTube. The YouTube channel that I think we watched it through was, it's 00ange, A-N-G-E-E, 00. She's got all of them. You got to watch them in parts, but they're all there. But yes, the opening scene is literally a big old BBC putting a condom, like literally, I think that classroom looked like the classroom from Degrassi Junior High, Mr. Garcia's classroom.
It did.
Like this, it was like, it looked like it was suctioned onto that teacher's desk, and
it was like a full, it was like, I don't think it was like like one that was made like for teaching. I think he just brought his dildo from home.
100% silicone,
like shiny black dildo.
Yes, because I guess it also like the video quality was kind of grainy. So I was like, "What is that?" And then I literally saw the balls, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, it had balls on it. I was like, "Oh, this is like a full on sex toy. This is not like because we're used to actually. I don't even think we got a condom demonstration in school.
Yeah.
We didn't, but I'm used to the trope on television, and usually it's like on a banana or like a cucumber, some kind of produce, some kind of phallic piece of produce. And I've just never seen it like full on like a veiny like.
I know that scene. I was like, "Ooh, this is about to be so good."
If we're laughing this much and we're 28, like if I was like a 16-year-old, I would have been dying.
Oh my gosh.
But like it opens like with like quick little scenes to kind of give you a taste of what we're going to get. So you get like a BBC, you get like a quick little thing of this girl like, "Oh yeah, I'm teen mom." This other girl who like can't have children, who looks like Ashley Kerwin from Next Gen. No?
Yes. For a second I was like,
are you related? Just like her. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. And then like, you know, we get our intro, like, you know, Spike is sitting like, it's just like total like after school shit, like she's like sitting like on like a park like picnic table, and she's like, hi, I'm Spike. I played Spike. She was pregnant as a teen. Like just kind of like, I'm here to talk to you about sex. Very like, she's cool. She's a cool girl. You know, she's got her little claw bangs and shit, and she's like, yeah.
Yeah, I loved her.
Guys.
I loved her shirt. I don't know if she was wearing it initially at this beginning intro, because the kind of beginning credits were kind of like little snippets of what you're going to see throughout the episode, and then you see Spike or Amanda Steptoe, and I'm going to use their character names interchangeably because it's just how we refer to them.
Yeah, full on.
But at some point, she has a shirt on that says BYOC, bring your own condoms. And I'm like, I would love that retro shirt.
So, you know, I noticed a shirt that said, I think Joey was wearing one too, it said BYOC, mm-hmm. but I didn't read what it was. Like, I was just like, oh, like, I thought it was like some like, weird brand, some Canadian brand. Ooh, where can we find those? Probably have to look on eBay or something, a bring your own condoms t-shirt. I love that.
Then I was like, oh, we love a good, like political fashion, like graphic tee of the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, cause at the end of the day, this episode is all about like safe sex and teaching kids how to be, you know, responsible sexual beings. But we do get this fucking theme song that I gave you a little taste of that I sang.
It's a bop.
It's a bop. Should I just like insert it here? Maybe.
Give them a little, give them a little bit of a snippet, like a little bit of the bridge or the chorus or whatever.
Okay, yeah. Just for like context, this is Caitlin, the actor who played Caitlin and Tim are singing this theme song. So I'm going to just put it right here. We've all got real problems, but can't always solve them. We need someone to listen, because we all need some talking. Some try to ignore, but we've got to explore. We cannot hide it all away, let's do this together. Whoa, I'll talk to you, and you'll talk to me. We've got to reach out to set us all free. To grasp each us, coast to coast. We hear real stories from real people. To grasp each us. Okay, cool. I've realized at the end of the show when they're rolling the credits that I think his name's Keith White. Who plays Tim wrote the theme song for it.
You know, he's probably one of the most successful Canadian songwriters of all time. Like he just like you just didn't even know it.
I mean, he could sing. Caitlin was still giving us Stop the Stink, like, vibes. But, like, he was singing. He was, like, had some, like, runs in there. I was like, okay, like, Tim, I see you.
Dropping bars. Yeah, but that song was so good. And it was just like, ooh, like, there's just something about that. Because I think, you know, both Sunique and I, we are, how old are we? We're 28 now. And so we were definitely of that age of like for most of our schooling, like we watched dated VHS tapes on the box TV that was rolled in on the cart. And there's something about the nostalgia of a 80s into 90s, like made for teens, like instructional video that this Degrassi Talks is just giving me.
It's that, and that's why I loved it so much, because I do remember that. Well, one I remember, I might have mentioned this on the podcast, like there's the only problem with podcasting, you do it long enough that like you forget, you start repeating probably the same shit you said before, because like I don't remember what I talked about a year ago. But so I remember like when we were in the fifth grade and we had to do like our sex ed, like our very first, it was family life is what they called it. And they separated the boys and the girls, and we had to watch this movie that I later found out was the same movie my sister watched. And my sister and I have 9 years between us, so it was like I explained like the premise, and she was like, "Yeah, that's the one I watched," because it's like about we watched the. I think the boys and girl watched the same thing, but there's like one section about a girl, one about a boy. Mm-hmm. Changing bodies, the girl gets her period, the boy has a wet dream, and like it ends with a party, and they're just all like dancing, and it's like very grainy. Like late 80s, like, you know, kids just like dance into like some synth. Yeah. And my sister was like, yes, Iron. She's like, it ended with a party, right? Like, yeah, I saw that movie. And I was like, wow.
And you know where that instructional video got its plot from? They got it from It's Late, Degrassi Junior High, season 2.
Oh, for sure. I wish they had just shown us Degrassi, honestly. You know, so every so often when I'm bored, I just will go on YouTube and watch old sex ed videos, because like they're just fun. Like I recommend it like different eras, like a one from like the 50s, like a 70s one. Like it's so interesting to see how much like the conversation about teens and sex has changed, but also like it's just funny because it's so corny. They're all yeah. so corny. Like have an edible and then watch some like teen sex ed videos from like 1963. You'll have a great time.
I mean, like I think that's something that's so like for both of us, I think watching this. Yeah, because it's from 1992, the year of our birth. Wow. Okay. And,
what a great year.
And this like instructional video is literally like, I mean, this video could be remade exactly the same with just modern day people and it would still be progressive. And the fact that they like were doing this and making it for teens, interviewing teens about all of these situations is just like truly like shocking to the American eye and ear. But
it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so, like, let's like, get into it. Like, so they break it down by different topics. So we get, like, a teen sex or a teen pregnancy section. There's a section on abortion, mm-hmm. a section on HIV, AIDS, and also a section on just healthy, like, there's an STD section as well. And there's also, like, adoption. And they do They round it out honestly with like a healthy teen sex.
Yeah, how to do it.
I was like, yeah, really shocked by it because they literally had a teen couple who were like, we have a happy and healthy sex life, and this is what we do. And I was like, whoa! Like I could never imagine in an American school system they would have like a 17-year-old couple being like, yeah, we have sex and this is how we do it healthily. And it's like, and we are, our parents are cool with it. We're healthy. We're smart about it. And it's like,
yeah,
whoa. Like that was shocking for my 2020 ears. Like, guys, we acknowledge that teens have sex and there's a way to do it in like a proper healthy way. Gagging.
What I just realized is that the format of these shows, it's obviously like meant to be like informational, but like, the format of these shows like mirrors. Did you ever watch? I mean, I'm sure you did. Real Sex on HBO.
Oh, absolutely. That was like I think my first like intro to porn was like, I mean, Real
everybody.
Sex. Like because it was like it told I excused it as being like, oh, it's just like educational, but like it was just porn like with interviews.
Yeah, I'm just learning.
I'm just learning about sex, and it's like these two women having sex with like a big like one that stands out in my mind was like this I think it's like three women having sex like a big sex doll. And I was like, I'm just educating myself. And I watched that. I was like 13.
I mean, just like just some of the extent of what we were watching of like in the realm of sex on Real Sex. Like you listener, you know. If you are part of Solid Listen Patreon, you know. Knows. And yeah, like, and so just like literally like being up at like 3 a.m. with your like jaw on the floor being like what,
but also what? Like making sure you're like your eyes are darting between like the TV and like the door, so like
the no volume is in. Down really really low,
it's so low. I have like closed captions on, like I'm literally just reading.
Oh my gosh. And then just like the yeah. most like hippie ass white people, like with full on bush, male with a long ponytail, like just fucking in the woods.
Like. Yo, that I literally remember that though. Like I remember seeing
that was like five weird, of the like, episodes.
Yeah, it'd be like weird, like commune, like hippies, like yeah, like we like do tantric sex, and it's like this woman, like
oh god,
this woman like jerking off her husband.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was our sex ed. Just like real sex. Like
yeah. So this
hey, I will say, exposure to real sex at the very least taught me not to like to be open to kinks and fetish. And it's like, oh, interesting.
Yes, you're like, okay. All right. People do these.
Like I don't think I like that. Like I haven't had sex yet because I'm 14, but I feel like I wouldn't like that. But I'm happy you do.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. But yeah, Degrassi Talks is basically just the teen, like basic more of a sex education level of real sex HBO.
Yeah. And it's great. So the way they do it, it's like, okay, they interview a bunch of different teens about these specific issues, and it's interspersed with like the real sex aspect. So it's literally like Caitlin out on the street, like talking to teens, but like they do it in a way that's like they pretend like they just are approaching these kids, and like they sign a waiver, like they know they're gonna be asked. Because at one point it's like, yeah, I think she and because Yik's carrying the camera. He's like, camera's not even on. He's like carrying the camera, and she comes up to them. She's like, hey, can I talk to you guys about sex? And they're just like, sure. And I'm like, yeah, you've just found these teens like on the street. But they do that, and they ask the kids about different questions about sex and stuff. And then they also have like they intersperse like scenes from Degrassi like that are relevant.
Yeah.
And they also like will give us like facts and figures. Like the first one they'd use that jumped out to me. Yeah. Yeah, it's like 50% of Canadian teens are sexually active by grade 11. And I was like, Jesus, that's a high number.
It is.
Like, and I know actually, at least in the United States, teen sex has gone down. Like, teen pregnancy is on decline. And also, the number of teens that have sex or are sexually active today is, like, fewer than, despite what the media would make it seem like. It's actually, like, I know even our generation, when we were teenagers, were having less sex than our parents were, their generation. They were doing it way more than we were.
Damn.
So it's like, I think it's what's so shocking about it. I think because it is of a different era, I'm like, whoa, that's high. Because I'm pretty sure when I was in high school or when we were being taught about it, it was like, the thing they always push is like, one, most kids aren't, and they're lying to you. They're just saying they are, and most of them aren't actually doing anything. And I think it's declined even more since we were little teeny boppers, you know?
Yeah. So who was the first person that you remember was interviewed? Was it the woman with the son?
Yes, it was the girl. I'm such a bitch, though. She's a teen mom. She's being interviewed by Lucy, and the actress who plays Lucy. And she literally has the same story as Spike. Like, she had sex for the first time at a party upstairs, and then like got pregnant.
Oh my gosh, it was exactly like it. But okay, the way that she was describing it, like, if it was 2020, she would be like, yeah, I was assaulted. Because the way,
the way she was describing it was different. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think, so she does point that out. She's like, I don't want to make it sound like he was like, he didn't force me. But it definitely was like a lot of teenage girls can relate to, is that it definitely was coercion, like, in a way, or not coercion. I think that's not the right word. She was pressured. I think it was not. Did I miss something?
She said, she's like, if I hadn't gone with him, he would have like punched me or something.
No, she said that it wasn't like that. Right?
Oh.
Do we? I don't want to misrepresent it. I heard it as being like, it's not like he told me if I didn't do it, he'd punch me or anything, but he definitely like pressured me. Like, it definitely was like, come on, let's, that makes more sense.
Because my note that I wrote, I was like, if she was in 2020, she was definitely assaulted. In my mind, I was like, it was like kind of the times of like, post Me Too, like it, she probably would have said it differently today. Again, I don't want to infer anything, but it was definitely problematic for sure.
Oh, yeah. It definitely was like, I mean, while she like did consent, it is that weird gray area of like, you know, he applied a lot of pressure on her, which,
yeah,
you know, is very inappropriate. But she got pregnant, and I'm so mean because I wrote, honey, just because you're going to be a mom doesn't mean that you need to get that haircut. Because she's like a teenager. She has the ugliest mom, early 90s mom hair. What? We saw Spike be a teen mom, and she was a bad bitch. She didn't have to have a haircut. Huh?
I felt so bad for her as like in her situation that now.
Oh, I still felt bad for her, but that haircut jumped out. I was like, ooh.
Listen, okay, what was that? Like, What was that movie that we were on Mother May I Sleep With podcast with?
Oh,
I can't. Is the one about like the where?
Why did I forget the name of it?
They beat up their best friend and then she dies. They drown her.
A Killer Among Friends. Sorry. Thank you. There's another Lifetime movie called A Secret Between Friends, and I kept thinking that. I'm like, that's not the name of that movie, though. Yeah, Killer Among Friends, yeah.
This girl, the teen mom that they interviewed for Degrassi Talks, looks like the one that was like the crazy lady Ellen. In that movie with the kid. Yeah, she was. I was like, is that Ellen? Is that her?
Also with a really ugly haircut.
I know.
I don't know what it is with these teen moms and these haircuts. But you guys, I know.
But yeah, she was. It was very much like the 16 and pregnant teen mom of it all. Of like, you know, she like got pregnant. They didn't really go into a lot of like what her situation was of kind of what led to her decision of keeping the baby. That wasn't really the focus. It was kind of more of like she, you know, she kept the baby, and you know, life is really like she's very open and honest about like that. She kind of wishes at one point, she's like, I kind of wish some days that I could just like give Jeffrey up to another family and they could take him and be their parents. It's really hard being a teen mom. And she's definitely like, they interviewed her on a bad day because she didn't get any sleep. She was saying some shit that I was like, I don't know if I would say that on camera. But you know,
I appreciated that honesty, though, because I think it is such like a taboo, even outside of like teen moms, just like moms in general, sometimes just being like fucking fed up. And it's like a taboo thing to talk about. You have to pretend like, it's hard, but I love him and everything's great. It's like, no, she's a teen. Like, I think a lot of teen parents, teen moms specifically, at some point think, I wish I could just like give up on this. Like, I get it. Like, it's hard to hear, but it's like, it's true. I mean.
Yeah. And they, you know, they were asking, like, how, what about, you know, because the her son's name is Jeffrey. I forget the mom's name, but her son's name is Jeffrey. And, you know, she's saying, like, Jeffrey's dad isn't in the picture, you know, like, just very, like, you know, classic teen mom, like, or 16 pregnant. It's just, like, they up and leave, and she's stuck with all the responsibility of it. So, they really got that in early. They're like, listen, at the end, if this is the only part of the show you watch, like, you're going to learn. There's like the difficult part of what could come out of sex. So,
yeah. I mean, even with the whole lack of the dad thing, they mention another stat is like 79% of teen moms are single. I actually am surprised it wasn't higher than that. I thought it'd be like 85% or something. Like 79 even seems low just because, you know, it's easy to dip out. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but like, at one point, they do start to ask, relating to that and the lack of dads in the picture. Because I think if they managed to find one, like, we had a hard time finding a teen dad to interview. They found one guy named Don. And he was like, yeah, it's hard.
Like, 19.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, it's fucking hard. But, like, I stuck around because it's my child. But they ask the teens on the street, hey, like, what, you know – oh, her name's Vicky. That's what it is. Because I wrote down, Vicky's life is fucking depressing. And I realized, it's fucking
it was very sad. It was so very sad.
It's so sad. And again, the haircut doesn't help. Like, I'm just saying, like, it just made her look more downtrodden. It was just like,
it was
like, she's like a mommy spa day to just like, it's not going to fix her situation. But sometimes like those kind of things of like, someone take Jeffrey, let her go out, get a massage, get her hair done. Just like, those moments to make her feel like, great. She looked so downtrodden.
To give you guys a visual, she had, I guess the adult version of a bowl cut is, but she took a curling iron to it, so just really give you those undercuts. Oh, she had a bangang, like she literally
had a bangang.
It was not a good look. She also was wearing, which, you know, was of the times, but very dated, a pleated denim pant.
Yes.
But in the mom gene form, which is, you know, altogether just not a great look. She looks
like, remember that episode, that there's a season of Teen Mom 2 where Leah has like a mom, she goes to a phase where I think she thought like, well, I'm a mom now, so I have to look this way. She's like, she has this weird haircut where she looks like a middle-aged woman, and I'm like, why would you cut your hair like this? Just because you're a mom doesn't mean you have to look like you're still young. Like, it's crazy. But what was I gonna say? Yeah, so they interview the teens, like, oh, like, why do you think guys don't stick around? And one girl says, I figure it's because they have no control over their organs, so they decide they don't have to do anything about this baby. I was like, what? It was the funniest, because the way she says it was just like, I figure it's because they have no control over their organs, so I guess they figured they don't have to do anything about, you know, what happens after. It was like, are you okay? Yeah,
they can't control their dick. Why would they be able to control? She's been hurt by somebody.
I thought she had taken a Vicodin before. I was like, girl, wake up. Like, what is that delivery?
So... okay, I'm thinking, was the next person that they talked to the young woman who decided to have an abortion?
Yes, and she's interviewed by one of the twins. Yeah, that was a good interview. Yeah.
It was so like, we're down to earth. We're sitting on a roof on some milk cartons. Look at us. We're one of the people.
But it's great, because that was another thing that stood out to me about how progressive this was, that they when I realized this morning, I was thinking about it. Obviously, in this week's episode, we talked a lot about abortion, but I was thinking about how the only time I ever talked about abortion in school was in like a political context. So it was like a debate we were having, or like you had to, like, in English class, you had to like write like an essay defending or for or against or whatever. It was always in like a very political context, and never just like, not in a health class. That never happened. Like, I think I went years actually before I actually even knew what actual abortion entailed. Like, I didn't actually know that because no one explained it to me. But it stood out to me that they actually found a young woman who had an abortion who talked about it. And it was like, whoa, that's like, for 92, that's really awesome.
It was. And it was very just like, it was apolitical. It was just, you know, giving her story about things. And I wish I would have written down. At one point she said, like, she said something along the lines of, like, I hate having to explain myself, of, like, you know, like, basically, like, it's, like, for the time of my life that this choice came about, like, this is the choice I made. That doesn't mean it's going to always be my choice in every point in my life, and I shouldn't have to explain why I feel the way I feel now, and why I felt the way I did when I got the abortion. I like the way that she explained herself very well. And she was like, I think maybe like 19 when she was interviewed, and she was also a woman of color. She had a nice little what are those called? It's not a boy haircut. I'm thinking of the wrong, it's like a,
wasn't she wearing a hat?
She might have been wearing a hat, but it was like the classic, like, tapered cut that like all young black women had in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Where it's like long on top and like tapered on the sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it was I think it's like that kind of Whitney Houston. Like, Whitney Houston had that haircut, I think, early in her career. But yeah, it was a really nuanced perspective about abortion. And yeah, I mean, it humanized it. It wasn't like, they still do like interview like with the kids, like, what do you think about abortion? And actually most of them were actually like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, they
good old Canadians.
Good old Canada. A few people were like, you know, it's wrong, it's murder. But like, I think the majority of them were like, oh, you know, it's her decision. Like, even like the guys were like, it's her decision. I think one guy was like, I'd like to be involved in the decision-making process if I was the father, which it's its own conversation, because it's it's complex. But yeah, I think it was cool to see so many of them have very nuanced perspectives about abortion. And I'm curious, now I want to do my own research to understand the abortion in Canada and, like, if it has been as contentious or how – I mean, I'm sure it's been politicized in some way, but that definitely affects people's views on it because, you know, you politicize an issue, now it becomes a, you know, which side are you on thing as opposed to just, like, it being a thing, right? Where do they go after that? They still doing teen mom stuff. And do we want to get into the STD conversation?
Yeah. So I think at some point, the STD conversation, is this with the STD and like HIV AIDS or no?
So it's split up because they have interview the, well, I mean, I also, I know we were like, let's focus on the interviews, but I can't ignore the on the street stuff because some of the things are just like so shocking to me. Like for one thing, like even before they get into STDs, Joey asked the teens about the misconceptions they've heard about sex and pregnancy. And I was like, the Coke one is always the one that shocks me the most. I've heard that before.
Never heard that one before. Taking a bath in Coke. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it sounds like a douche. It sounds like a good way to get a yeast infection. I mean, it's a surefire way to get a yeast infection.
Like a yeast infection and like diabetes, like all in the same run.
Like your vagina will have diabetes.
That can't be good.
No, it's they can't cure that. So I don't, STDs. Yeah, so they interview a girl who. The girl. This was really sad. Angie, who. Mm-hmm. Who can't have children because of she had a lot of STDs that I guess were untreated, and like she explains this, I mean, the situation with her reproductive organs or like her, I think like one fallopian tube, it's like,
yeah, it was like, scarred, like, it almost cleans, like, really hard with scar tissue. Yeah.
And like the thing is they focus more on like her sadness of not being able to have kids, which is very important. Yeah, she's like, she goes to the clinic and like there's so many pregnant women around her and she's sad and she's young and she's being told she's like, can't.
She's 17, yeah.
But there was so much left on the table. I'm like, what was going on? Like, I not to judge her, but just kind of like.
Yeah, that's what that was my thinking too. I'm like, at 17, if you're at 17, you've had numerous STDs that go untreated, like that's whatever situation that you were in, is that's not good.
I am deeply concerned.
Yeah,
because it's not like, I mean, not to minimalize it, because obviously we, like, you know, you and I know that STIs, as they're called now, like, you know, if untreated they can cause infertility, but for a lot of them it's also like prolonged. Like it's not like a, oh, I had an STI and then like a month later I'm in for, like, no, it's usually like, it's prolonged. Years, yeah. But she implies that she's had many STIs. So I'm like, I guess like, my mind was just kind of like going of like what was going on in her life that she was this sexually active at such a young age with so many different partners and getting so many STIs and not treating them, and like to the point where now she's this young and like
she's infertile at 17.
Her body is like, but you know what she reminded me of? There's this episode of the Tyra Banks show. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Tyra. I know.
That show is so, well, because it's so like, Tyra's a bitch. Like, I'm sorry. Like, watching that show and realizing the way she talked to these kids was like, she was so like, not empathetic. But there's a girl, I remember like she did like this thing, it was like a panel of teens, and she would talk to them about like a bunch of teen girls, and they talk about everything from like drug use to like sex, everything. And there's just one girl on it who was really young, and she was talking about like so basically her mom, long story short, her mother was a single mom, started dating some guy. The girl got upset because she wasn't getting enough attention. She started becoming like sexually active and she slept around a lot. And she was saying like how she's like kind of just going through a laundry list of all the STDs she had had. And it was like so uncomfortable because she's talking about it. And she's like, yeah. And her voice is like really little. She's like, I was like, the way she talked about it was kind of like, okay. So she's a really tiny voice. She's like, yeah, so then I found out that I had chlamydia. And then, like, you know, that was kind of a big deal. And then I went to the clinic and I found out I had something called trich. And I also found out that I had herpes in my mouth, in my genitals. And she's, like, kind of going through a laundry list of everything. Oh, and, like, Tyra stops her. And she's like, I'm sorry. She's like, I don't mean to judge you, but like the way you're talking about this is so casual. You're talking like, yeah, so I went down the street and I got some candy. And then I saw my friend and she said, I want some candy. I said, no, you can't have none. And she like imitates the girl on this stage. And it's so fucked up.
Tyra is just trash.
Like, Tyra is such a trash person. But she reminded me of that. It was kind of like a similar situation. Like all this stuff is happening to you. And I'm like, there's so much left unsaid that I'm like, I have follow-up questions because what is going on? Like I'm concerned in terms of that you're a minor and I think there's something happening that's like not kosher.
Yeah, like child
beyond just, oh, she's just having sex a lot. Yeah. It's like, oh, like something else is going on, but this is not okay. But yeah, Angie just was like another really sad case. The on the street interviews though about the STDs and kids just being so stupid. Like one girl, they're like, oh, can you name some? She said gingivitis. And I literally wrote, this bitch said gingivitis. Like what?
Listen, I heard that on the commercial one time. I guess
gingivitis sounds like an STI, but like it's not. It is literally not one. Like
I have gingivitis at the genitals. It's curable.
Oh yeah, God. Like she's and, like the kids. I think like was shocking to me because it kind of segues into the HIV/AIDS conversation. Is like one. I think at this time they gave us a stat. It was like 15% or only 15%. Yes, less than 15% of teens in 92 use condoms regularly. And I'm just like,
yeah,
this is the height of the HIV AIDS epidemic. And it's like, was so shocking that I was like, how are you guys, like, you're in the middle of it. And like the kids are talking about it. Like, I think one boy they even interviewed was like, yeah, no, I don't use condoms. Like, aren't you worried about disease? And he's like, what diseases? And I was like, what? Yes, Degrassi really is doing God's work. Like, these kids need it. They need it.
Yeah. I think it was also like, you think about it like this. Obviously, we talked about this show itself is groundbreaking, but like, think about like the kids coming out. Like, what did they have before this to like teach them? Or like, you know, you think about, you know, just. You think about like, yes, like I am a knowledgeable person. I pay attention to things and I have been told or I'm knowledgeable of like what is safe and what's unsafe. But then you have to think about like the general public of people. And then when you think about it of like, especially as a teen, they talked about, you know, at some point like, oh, do you have condom machines at your school? Like if you wanted to get condoms, how easy is it for you to get condoms? Just like that alone. And then add on to like teenage being like, eh, I don't really care. Like, it like my uncle, my 50-year-old uncle told me it feels different, so I'm not going to use a condom. And
I mean,
and so,
tons of them were giving us that.
Yeah,
it feels so, better without it. Like, so I don't.
Bro, you haven't had sex yet. Like, stop lying. Like,
well, according to the stats, Canadian kids, I deduce, like, Canada just must have been mad boring in the 90s, and that explains why one in two kids were just, like, knocking boots. I'm like, how, like, do you have anything else to do? Like, how are you all having sex like this? Like, I didn't know Canada was so horny, but now I know.
I know. Wow. Also, talking about Canada, the Canadian accents throughout this show –
They ran the gamut.
I mean, maple syrup was literally just like pouring out of me, like instead of sweat. Like I was so excited. Like also, side note, to all our Canadian listeners, I'm in quarantine right now in China, and just outside my window there is a Tim Hortons across the street. So
they have Tim Hortons in China.
They got fucking Tim Hortons in China.
Do we have a Tim Hortons here? No.
I mean, the only Tim Hortons I've seen are in, like, upstate New York, like, close to the Canadian border.
Okay. Now I'm curious. I'm like, I've never seen a Tim Hortons before.
Yeah, so... my and
yeah, I heard Tim Hortons amazing. Like, it's like one of those places that you have to like go to.
Yeah, I just hope it's like better than like because you know how like you know how like some like people from the north are like fucking obsessed with Dunkin' Donuts and like would die for Dunkin' Donuts, but like Dunkin' Donuts like, is like kind of just okay. Yeah. I hope it's not that big of a disappointment. Cause like
I feel like it's like a I imagine it's gonna be like a Wawa, cause Wawa is that kind of like Wawa is
Wawa
that
is a shit.
I miss Wawa so much. Like I shit. Like those coffees were so cheap and those sandwiches were delicious.
Oh my god, dude! I mean, I got Wawa at least 20 times while I was home.
Gel. I haven't had a Wawa. I haven't gone to Wawa in like years because I used to fuck heavy with Wawa when I was in college. Cause I was in Philly. So like there was a Wawa
bacon
everywhere.
Egg and cheese those croissant sandwiches, bitch.
Damn, I could fuck with a croissant sandwich right now.
Oh my god.
Oh, I don't have any croissants. Ugh. Depressing.
It's fine, but
oh, that sounds so good. Why would you say that to me? Now I'm like, ugh. All right. Do you want to get into the HIV portion?
Yes, good old Bentley.
Yeah. So Bentley was the guy who made a very big introduction with that dildo. but we learned that he is HIV positive. He found out when he's 25, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did he find out when he was 25 or is he currently in the show 25?
I think he's just 25. I don't know. We didn't know like exactly what age he learned he was positive.
Okay. Yeah. So he's HIV positive and he travels around, you know, to teach young people about sex. He gets a great moment where he like, you know, shows them why you shouldn't use Vaseline as a lube. he blows up a latex condom like a balloon and he just like rubs Vaseline all over it and it just like pops. Which I had a nice laugh over.
I feel like I didn't even know that. Like, I think really? I had known that, but I think I hadn't thought about, like, the science of condoms in a while since, like, was it probably high school? Where it's like, here are the facts that you need to know that's right and wrong. And I remember, like, mm-hmm. one of them was, like, you know, using the proper lubricant or whatever with a mm-hmm. condom to like ensure its efficiency or it's like still like doing its job. And I had forgotten yeah. about like Vaseline. Not that I would I Vaseline does not that doesn't seem like a nice substance.
Yeah, it doesn't sound sexy. I guess well he mentions that I guess because it kind of was advertised as if it was also that. I think he mentions like, yeah, you might have heard like, oh, Vaseline has 100 uses, some of which that you know we don't mention or something. And the implication yeah. being like wink, wink. But like mm-hmm. not with a condom. I mean, I guess you could use it without. But also, why? If like that just doesn't like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just greasy. Like why would you want to use that? Like, I mean, looking at, like, I use Vaseline on my lips and stuff. I'm like, it's just, like, greasy and, like, not because something I would want you know, to use sexually.
I don't think it's anyone's first choice, but I think it's, like, one of those things that's, like, for most black households, like, there's always, like, a jumbo jar of Vaseline. Like, especially, oh, for sure. like, I always have Vaseline by my bed, like, to put it on my lips before I go to bed. And mm-hmm. so I just feel like it's just, like, it's always, like, at the ready.
Yeah, that makes, so, it makes sense. It's like, yeah, it's like convenient for people.
Yeah, but it's not. It's no one's first choice. That's for sure. It shouldn't be your first choice, not. Is what we're saying. I really and hope it's not. Don't use it with a condom.
Yes, if you're going to use a lube, make sure it's water based.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's also just I remember, like, when I was watching him talk, it was so tough. Like, my first thought was, like, where is Bentley now? And I'm just like,
I know.
I hope he's well, but it's tough seeing, like, a young person talk about their diagnosis in the early 90s just because it's, like, given the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, like, not great. I'll say that. You know, it's like, you know, thankfully we have gotten to the point. I mean, obviously it's still an issue that, I mean, some people still do die from AIDS. So let's not pretend like it's not still a very huge pressing problem, but things are getting better. You know, I know people who are living with HIV and are thriving and are happy and healthy. So, yeah.
Yeah. But it was, thought they, that kind of, it was very, his interview was very, like, vulnerable and very raw. And, again, like, this is 92, and, like, he is a Black man talking about being HIV positive and talking to teens about safe sex. And, like, that, it was just very... That was just very groundbreaking. And then on the top of the fact of, like, you know, like, him being very vulnerable, talking about, like, what it's like, what it was like for him when he first received the news about being positive, and you know, what it's like being alive, why a lot of he was, like, you know, reference of, like, having friends that died. And, like, having to live, like, you know, with that. It reminded me so much of Love Pose so much. When Pray Tell, like, would talk about, like, just, like, I can't. Like, I remember, like, when he was, like, having some monologue about, like, you know, like, I can't jeopardize getting into another relationship and, like, losing another person, like investing time and falling in love and then losing another person. And so I like to see just, like, a person, like, on TV talking about that in the time, like, it wasn't a scripted, it wasn't an acted out scene, it was just like a raw documentary. It was just, like, very, I don't know, it was just, like, on top of everything else with the show, it was like, it was just like, wow, holy shit, Degrassi talks.
It was ahead of its fucking time. I think especially at a time when, like, you know, there was still, like, a huge, I mean, there still is, but, like, especially then, a huge stigma around HIV and AIDS that, like, it is important. He's doing God's work. It's important that he is, you know, he's putting a face to it, because it's easy for people to, you know, judge or have these prejudices about HIV when they don't have a person to, you know, relate it to, which is a statistic, or it humanizes it. It's like, this is a person standing in front of you who, you know, appears to be a kind person and is educating you, and you realize, like, these are real people who, you know, they're not just this, like, shadowy monolith of folks that you don't ever have to concern yourself with. I mean, spoiler, I mean, it's always weird talking about spoilers on this show, just because it's, like, it's an old ass show, so I don't feel as tough, like, pressed to make sure people the show's not ruined for you. But
if you don't want to be spoiled, fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, but, like, he's being interviewed by Dwayne, who in Degrassi High is test positive for HIV, and I think, even that, having Dwayne on Degrassi, him being a straight white dude is the one who has it, was important. It was like, because it's easy for people, especially then, to think, oh, it happens to gay people or happens to Black people. It happens to the other. But when you have someone in front of you who's like, no, he's a straight white dude who got it from a girl. Like, it's not – this is a disease that can affect anybody. And it's a huge deal. I think it's Degrassi's awesome in that way to, like – to tackle tough topics. So
kudos to them. Degrassi talks.
Degrassi talks. but they close out the show with this couple, and they're interviewed by Joey, and it's funny because, like, Joey's, like, just, like, chilling on their bed. Like, and I'm like, yo, you on that bed they fuck on, bro. Like, he's just like on, he's like, it's like, he's like on, you know, kind of like resting on his elbow, just like hanging out.
He's laying on the bed.
Huh?
He's laying on the bed.
He's laying on the bed, just like,
he's like, full. So this couple, so this last interview that's coupled, they are Lucy and Kurt. Kurt is spelt with a K. And they are, they are just like, they are all about sex. They are all, like, they would be, they're on real sex. Like, they are the couple that's like, yeah, we're not, don't blur anything on our faces, our bodies. We want to be on this show and let you know that we fucking, and this is how we fuck, okay?
Yeah, they're like, I think 19 and 17, like Kurt's 19. I think that was the age. So, like, yeah. Older teens, but still teens.
And Kurt, they still look very young because Kurt has like, he's like trying to grow facial hair, but the best he can do is like a chin strap. And they're like, they're at like a nightclub or something where DJ's like spinning some records. They really want to set the scene with like, they're like, yeah, they're like B shots of this couple. And
well, because you know, like, they're at this party, and after the party, they're gonna fuck.
Like they're gonna fuck, know? Like they did some coke, it's the early 90s and they're about to fuck, so they like are on the dance floor and they're like this obnoxiously cute like young adult like just obsessed with each other level, because they're like literally on the dance floor like doing like butterfly kisses with their noses, and then as they're being interviewed like on their bed, they're like entwined, their bodies are completely entwined, all their limbs are wrapped around each other. And as you said, Joey is literally lounging on this bed with them as if he is about to be the third in their in this threesome.
Like, but you're right, and it's so like, it's awkward, like, because it's like, so the whole premise of this show is that they're trying to like present like this comfort, like, yeah, we're just talking to teens like us. But it's like, it's weird because it's the one section where they're just talking about like someone just like very openly talking about their sex life. And Joe's just like lying there like, like, just like, yeah. Like, I think you're being like, they're going to try to seduce you, Joey. Like, you need to be like, have your wits about you. But it's, it's again, fucking progressive, because I could never imagine like, coming from the good old United States of America, pro abstinence, even though our education, our sex ed wasn't abstinence only, it was like, we actually learned, had sex ed. And I will say, like, I think my sex education was pretty good compared to people I know, where it's like nothing, but you would never, it would always be like, if you have sex, is how you have to protect yourself. But you still were pushing the idea of like, don't do it though. We don't want you to do it. Like, we prefer if you did it.
I was thinking, I was like, but in high school, outside of like having to go buy condoms myself, I had no idea how to get condoms.
That's
like,
true.
Besides going to a store, like there was no like condom ease or like, you know, easy access to condoms anywhere in our school or, you know, like it wasn't like widely known knowledge. So
that's true. I mean, yeah, it definitely wasn't perfect, but I guess what I mean is like, at the very least, like, we actually learned about sex and, like, safe sex. Because I know people who, like, literally were in abstinence-only programs and did not learn anything. Yeah. Like, literally learned nothing and had to learn on the streets. So, you know, so I'll say, like, we were good on that front. But this was huge. That's to true. Have, like, this couple who is openly, like, sexually active. And, I mean, they really do have a stance that I 100% agree with, of like, teenagers, not all teenagers will have sex, but some will. I think it's better to have them be equipped with the information than to be out in the world thinking they can just have, you know, a coke douche and that's enough to prevent pregnancy. Like, no, I want you to be educated. Like, the girl who's being interviewed, her name is Lucy, you said?
Yeah.
So she's being interviewed, and she gives us a breakdown of, like, her mom was super open with her about sex and was like, when you're ready to do it, like, please just let me know and we can, like, you know, get you on the pill, we can get you protection, all that stuff. And I'm like, that's really, like, awesome. I hope that if I ever have children and they are teenagers, like, I think my attitude will still be like, I prefer if you wait until you're not like 16, because just, I think for me, more of just like the emotional weight of starting a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you ready for that? Like, are you mature enough to handle that? I don't know. I think I would ask them to, you know, let them know that I prefer that you wait, but also having that open door of like, but when that time comes, I'd rather you come to me and tell me this is what is going on and getting your ass on birth control or whatever the fuck needs to be done so you're not bringing home a baby at 16 years old. Let's be real.
I'm not trying to be a grandma anytime soon.
Yeah. And I think that's – we're all – listen, I think I mentioned it in the most recent episode on the main feed. Like, I'm all about risk reduction. That's my point. I think if I have kids, even drugs, I recognize kids are going to experiment. Most kids will try a drug and never do it again. So I'm not afraid in that sense. But I'd rather be open with them. Be like, listen, I know you're going to experiment, but I'm going to tell you, if you go to a party and you're drinking, I prefer you do not drink. But I prefer that you also know you can call me if anything happens. And that here's a safety net of like, you're too drunk and your friends are drunk, call my ass, I'll come get you. I'm not going to let you be out in the world drunk and unsafe. Like, that's the reality of shit, but whatever, you know. But so they're happily having sex, and I'm happy for them.
Hey, they're in a committed sexual active relationship that I don't have right now, so you know.
I mean, they seem to be like, they're pretty mature. I have to say, like, they, and I think because they seem to have both grown up in households where they had frank discussions, they seem pretty like emotionally mature young people. And I think when you equip young people with information, they can make informed decisions as opposed to being fucking idiots out in the world thinking that they don't have to worry about STDs like half these kids who are interviewed, like, you know. So good on them and their parents.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about the one girl, she put up her baby for adoption.
Right. You're right. We totally missed her.
I forget her name, but her interview kind of popped in and out throughout. It wasn't kind of like a one-time thing, but I really liked, you know, again, with all the specifically like female-centered, like female-only interviews, I thought they did a very good job of kind of like not like everything was just everything they did was very objective. Like, they just like, you're like, here's different people's experiences, here's what their situation is like. And I thought that they also did a good job with hers. You know, she got pregnant and, you know, was weighing her options. For herself, she chose to put up her baby for adoption. But something I didn't know, so she was being interviewed by Amanda Septo Spike, and Spike was like, yeah, I was actually adopted. And so it's really cool, like, talking to you. I had no idea that she was adopted.
I had no idea either. And I love that she shared that, because it was cool seeing that that conversation play out of, like, a young mother who put her baby up for adoption and someone who was adopted, you know. I think it's just like, it's like a fair and balanced type of story. I think especially because she originally talks about how she, I think, had considered abortion. Her mother had told her maybe adoption, which, you know, I made it known, adoption as a replacement for abortion, I think, is not a one-to-one thing, but that's what happened. And she decides to I remember now there was one girl who was interviewed, and she was like, who was anti-abortion. She was like, I mean, like, adoption, like, it's only 9 months of your life. And I was like, girl, it's not just like 9 months of your life, like, in school. Like, you're literally having to, like, grow a human, but okay. But sure, honey. But she chooses adoption. And I thought this was really cool the way they talked about it. It wasn't like, again, it wasn't this like, I like that they didn't frame anything as being overly sad or emotional.
Yeah, it's very the conversations objective.
Aside from Angie and Vicky, because both of their situations were like really, really sad.
Yeah,
like I mean, even Bentley, the funny thing is I felt sad, but the way he conveyed it wasn't with sadness. It was more kind of like a matter of fact, like, this is a situation and this is what I'm doing now. And I liked that the tone wasn't this emotional, like, thing. I think sometimes, like, emotions can get in emotions are not a bad thing, but they can get in the way of having a good, frank dialogue, you know, because, like, you know, you're clouding people's, I think, opinion with emotion and, like, which can be manipulative in some situations. And I think I like that it's just kind of like, hey, this is what happened. I got pregnant, considered abortion, decided to do adoption. And that's what I did. And just like, yeah, that's what happened. It's like, I'm not, my life isn't forever. Like, I'm not constantly thinking about it. It's just like, yeah, it's what it happened to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And I think that's what's so... it's just like, it's very refreshing because I think exactly from our kind of like, okay, think about like outside of this, outside of Degrassi, this documentary series, like what real life examples do we have of these situations? It's like Teen Mom, which, you know, I know both of us enjoy watching, but like that is a dramatized, like, made for reality TV and ratings, like, portrayal of people's stories, and and casting is involved and lots of different things. And so that can, you know, that can, it can sometimes be good and being like, stay away from this, you know, don't get pregnant. But then it's also like, it's not always the most real, authentic portrayal of like a variety of what could be. And it, and as you're saying, in a very like non-emotional, very objective kind of just matter of fact documentation and sharing of stories, which I think they did such a freaking good job at doing.
Right.
I'm amazed.
Yeah. They didn't go for like, I think the extremes of.
Yeah.
Situations, I think, so it's like a Teen Mom where like you have like Janelles and stuff, but kind of these like I cannot relate to your life because it's so like, what the fuck, like, it's not my life. I can relate to these teens. I feel like they seem like just kind of regular people who just things happen to them and they're talking about them in a way that's just like, yeah, that's what happened. Like, it's, you know, you have the girl talking about her abortion, it isn't like this, you know, her crying about how like, oh, and then I was, you know, my boyfriend, and then I was forced, and like always, it's just kind of like, yeah, I just chose to, and that's just, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's refreshing. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's also very Degrassi. Like, as anytime we're discussing like a hard hitting episode, I always think of like the classics. Rumor has it, the Are You a Lesbian, Caitlin episode, or the last one we discussed about abortion. It's like Degrassi does a very good job of kind of just like presenting a situation and never kind of giving you a definitive, like, here's the route you should take, or here's the correct answer to your problem. Like, and so they did it again with this of like, here's the information. Now you're equipped to either research more, or now you have an understanding of maybe after seeing all of these, maybe what would be the right decision for yourself.
Yeah.
We're not here to make that decision for you.
I think, and then the biggest way I think Degrassi is different from like American television, because I think American television tries to indoctrinate you, honestly. It's like trying to tell you this is how you do it. Like, it's funny. It reminds me of this kind of like, I was in high school, and we were in high school is when that movie Juno came out, with the Ellen Page, the teen pregnant teen movie. And I remember having a conversation about it. Like, I don't know why we came up. It was like in my chemistry class, my teacher, and we're all just like talking about the movie or something. And he was like, he's pro-life, and he's like pretty Christian. He's otherwise a cool guy. I mean, he just didn't believe in abortion, so whatever. Yeah. And he, it was interesting that he watched the movie and was like, I love that they made a pro-life movie. And I was like, no, they didn't. Like I didn't say it. And I wish I had more of a voice. And I would be like, that writer Diablo Cody is actually pro-choice. And it's actually like a feminist, like a pretty outspoken feminist. I don't think she was making a pro-life movie. I think she just made a movie about teen pregnancy where she keeps it because that's a more compelling story probably to follow through a pregnancy than like she was pregnant and then she had an abortion. And that's the end of the movie. Like, it's not really a full movie, right? Unless you're following the day, like – like obvious child does, where like you're following the days up until she has the abortion. But this is a different story. But it's interesting that even like in a movie like that, where I think almost because like in the US, so many things are politicized, and I think so many things were used to kind of telling us what ought to be, you could take a piece of art that's like, the story really isn't about whether or not she kept her baby. It's actually like more about just like that journey. It's not really about that.
Yeah.
But like someone could take it and like fit it to their idea. Like, see, it's pro-life because she had the baby. I'm like, that's not really what – it's not like pro-life because she had the baby. Like, it's just – it's one person's story. Like, it's not – like, it's like watching Teen Mom. It's like saying, oh, Teen Mom is pro-life because they all kept their kids. Like – not really. Like, it's just, they just happened to keep their babies. Like, maybe for some of them that was the case, but Janelle very openly said she had had an abortion before she had Jace. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, she just happened to keep this one. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's just funny how, like, how people can filter a movie or piece of whatever into like whatever they already believe and decide like, therefore it's this thing I believe in. Like, okay, sure.
Living in America.
It's really a bizarre conversation.
Oh my gosh, this country.
Yeah, but I mean, that was it. Degrassi Talks. I liked it. I thought it was cool. I'm super excited to watch the other ones, because we're not rewatching anything. We're both watching them like straight up.
Yeah, for the first time.
And I'm happy we started them now because there are six. And I didn't want to wait until the end of Degrassi High, and then we have like
it would it would be a
it's
long
running
time.
Into next gen. So I think it's probably good that we started now. But they have different episodes about alcohol, abuse, depression, drugs, and sexuality. So I think it should be cool.
I'm excited. We've got all our favorites, really. So this week we've had Amanda Steptoe. We had Spike this week. We have Wheels next week. Kathleen, our newly crowned queen, Kathleen. We have Joey, Yik. I'm so excited for Yik. And,
yes, of course.
And Caitlin to round it out. So it's going to be a fun time. So
yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. If you guys, again, to mention, it's all on YouTube. You can, we will be linking it on our Instagram or posting about it on our Instagram, and remind you guys where you can find to watch it. But just Google on just YouTube Degrassi Talks and you'll find the gem channel that posted everything for you. So
but thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you later, broomheads.
Bye, broomheads.